We'll go ahead and get started with our two readings. The first one, I'm starting to get a feeling I read this one a lot, and I guess it's probably just because I like it. But this one comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and then 18 through 21. And I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God in them. There's no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. To fear is to expect punishment. And anyone who is afraid is still imperfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If you say you love God, but you hate your sister or brother, you are a liar. For you cannot love God, whom you have not seen, if you hate your neighbor, whom you have seen. If we love God, we should love our sisters and brothers as well. We have this commandment from God. We have blessing and understanding to reading of those words. I also want to share with you a quote from world-renowned Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg from her book, Loving Kindness, The Revolutionary Art of Happiness, which she says, sometimes we think that to develop an open heart, to be truly loving and compassionate, means that we need to be passive, to allow others to abuse us, to smile and let anyone do what they want with us. Yet, that is simply not what is meant by compassion. Quite the contrary. Compassion is not at all weak. It is the strength that arises out of seeing the true nature of suffering in the world. Compassion allows us to bear witness to suffering, whether it is in ourselves or others. Without fear, it allows us to name injustice without hesitation and to act strongly with all the skills at our disposal. To develop this mind state of compassion is to learn to live, as the Buddhists put it, with sympathy for all living beings without exception.
This song is by Green Day, an alternative rock band recorded in 2009. Green Day, a lot of their music, they're really fun. They have an entire album, actually was turned into a Broadway musical called American Idiot. And my son just loves that musical, and I'm kind of digging musical too, because Billy Joe Armstrong always wanted to be a musical theater star, the lead singer, the writer. But a lot of their music sounds angry, and I would say that most of their songs are them being angry. So this song is going to sound angry. I think the lyrics are on point with what Mark's about to talk about. At least it leads into it. What was I going to say about this? Oh, the name of it. It's called East Jesus Nowhere.
Like a dog at the dawn.
has been.
It's been a lifetime since I last confessed. I threw my crutches in the river of a shadow of doubt, and I'll be dressed up in my Sunday best. Say a prayer for the family, drop a coin for humanity. Hate this uniform sublottery. I never asked you a non-born thing to buy or today. A blasphemy and genocide, the sirens of decay, an infiltrate of hate fanatics. Disappear. I want to know who's allowed to breathe. All the dogs who never learned to read. Missionary politicians and the cops of the new religion. Today, of blasphemy and genocide, the sirens of decay will infiltrate the inside.
This morning is entitled This I Believe. It seems like every year the bastardization of Christianity that has been birthed by the unholy wedding of churchianity and conservative politics becomes more and more extreme and less like the man whose title is its name, the namesake of the movement. I might pause here and say, churchianity is the name that I use to describe the mutated version of Christianity that too many folks practice. It worships the church, its dogma, and its leaders, and it values conformity and control and power over the importance of diversity and freedom and humility that Jesus taught. Every year, their efforts full-heartedly attempt to rob the unfathomably epic expansiveness of God and replace it with the ever-increasingly myopic God, misguidedly trying to put God in a box so that they can use God as a prop, as a tool, as a weapon. Back in the 70s, a small group of conservative strategists decided to weaponize Christianity in U.S. politics in a way that it had never been done before. They began to promote an understanding of God that simply isn't biblical. Their need for doing this was conformity, control, and power, everything that Jesus confronted. They twisted, bent, and broke the love of God in order to support their self-centered and self-aggrandizing feelings of self-importance. And it did not matter who they had to sacrifice to get there. That's how we got on the dismal and destructive road that we are on as a nation. It's gone so far that it's turned into a you're either with us or you are against us mentality. That, my friends, is a far cry from Jesus' teachings that we are to love all people, including our enemies. It is a far cry from our sacred text that tell us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, to not be haughty. It is a bastardization of everything Christianity is supposed to stand for. It's become a faith that is afraid of questions, to the point that it attacks those who ask them. To be a member, you must toe the line, follow blindly, and basically worship its leaders. Churchianity, my friends, is a dangerous problem. It seems to me that we have a belief problem. As the churchianity of the United States continues to strengthen, it intentionally skews its belief system away from loving kindness in favor of an elitist exceptionalism that is designed to support the idea that some people are more deserving of God's love than others, that some people are more chosen than others, that some people are more rightly blessed than others. Given the nightmarish landscape that inevitably coincides with a spirituality that gives some people control over God and values some people more than others, I decided many years ago that I would once a year take a fresh look at what I believe and share it with you, and that's what I'm going to do today. I believe that Christianity has spent too much time shrinking God rather than growing this concept of God. I believe that Giordano Bruno had it right all the way back in 1593 when, as the Roman Inquisition tried him for heresy, for his lack of belief in eternal damnation, the Trinity, the divinity of Christ, the divinity of Mary, transubstantiation, he told the panel that they worshiped, and I quote, a too small God. Read about that, and then I actually wrote a letter to this too small God. And to my surprise, it went viral. Huffington Post printed it, Time Magazine picked it up. Here's a brief part of what I said. Dear Too Small God, I like what this Giordano Bruno fella had to say when an institutional church of the day came after him for entertaining rational thought, thinking for himself, not telling the party about it. He said, your God is too small. Frankly, in those five little words, he completely nailed the problem. An understanding of God that cannot withstand questions and rational thoughts is a too small God. I'm sorry, but that's you. At least it's the version of you that far too many of your followers worship. From evolution to climate change, far too many of your followers are willing to sacrifice logic and reason for you. I never thought that those were the kinds of sacrifices that pleased you. Why do people want to worship something that frail and insecure? Don't get me wrong, I tried making space for you. Even long after I didn't believe in the too small version of you that they were talking about, I tried to make space for you, believing we are all on different journeys. And the too small version of you, some people worship was okay for them where they were on their journey. I was wrong. It is not okay. As a matter of fact, that version of you is so myopically infinitesimal in comparison to what a God worthy of worship would be that it begs to be put down for the betterment of humanity. That version of you hurts people. That version of you encourages one group of people to feel superior over others. It justifies self-righteous judgment. And it's not uncommon to see it lead to violence. That God is a God of the privileged. It is a God designed to reinforce exceptionalism and justify unjustifiable behavior of the powerful. That God is a God tailored, designed to make limits of his adherence to the point of denying reality and dismissing science for the sake of further propping up the bastardization of the God I believe Jesus was trying to tell us about. So it's over. We are finished. I simply can't make room for a too small God anymore. I won't play nice about this. You need to go away. Don't worry about me. I'll be just fine. It turns out that there is a bigger God, full of love, compassion, reveling in the questions. Oh, just a bit tired of the dogma and sacrificial bleeding of reason. I still believe that. You can actually hear it echoed in parts of my personal statement of faith. As I mentioned, every year or so, I revisit my statement and share it with you. It's a tiny bit different this year from last time I shared it, and I suspect it will have changed this time next year as well, because, well, I love the questions and how they can change my perspective. And just as I did last few years, there are printed copies of this on the back table of the sanctuary if you're interested. I'll conclude with this statement of belief. This, I believe. I believe in the fullest expression of God comes in how we treat others, particularly the marginalized and suffering. I believe that God is known by many names. No religion has exclusive rights for naming God. Human limitations, they prevent us from knowing the fullness of God. We can, however, see the results of humanity expressing God. Love, peace, hope, forgiveness, grace, inclusiveness, justice, equality. God surrounds us, is in us, is in all others, and connects us all. Something that God is in all things and is all things. God is not a name. It is a label that points to that which we do not and cannot fully understand. I believe that the life and teachings of Jesus show us how to express God in our lives. For me, the teachings of Jesus are the most instructive on how to go about expressing God. Other spiritual teachers have also taught us about this thing we call God. And it is beneficial to be instructed by them as well. In Jesus, we see what a life lived expressing God looks like. And a key part of expressing the love of God is confronting the abuse of power and dismantling systems that allow for and encourage it. Doing so cost Jesus his life and showed us how far love will go for justice. I believe that we experience the movement of God on a daily basis throughout creation. Some people call that movement the Holy Spirit. It is given to doing its own thing and should not be taken lightly. I believe that belief alone is not enough. Belief is meaningless without action. How that action benefits all of creation is the surest indication of its validity and value. I believe that your theological outlook should be constantly changing. If it's not, you're not taking it seriously enough. Creeds and dogma betray this reality when taken at first face value. Beliefs should be informed by sacred text, spiritual guides, and life experience. That life experience includes science, art, nature, and relationships. I believe that God is love. If something isn't loving, doesn't come from a loving place, doesn't promote love, it isn't from God. All statements of faith should be a continuous work in progress. This, I believe.
This is Bruno Mars. If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the one to guide you. Find out what we're made of, then we are called to help all those in need. You can count on me, like 1, 2, 3, I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you, like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. 'Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh, 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 yeah. If you're
toss it and you're turning and you just can't fall asleep. I'll sing a song beside you. And if you ever forget how much you really mean to me, every day I will remind you. Whoa, find out what we're made of. Then we are called to help all those in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3, and I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh, 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 yeah. You'll always have my shoulder when you cry. I overlet those never. Like 1, 2, 3, and I'll be there. And I know when I need it, I can count on you. Like 4, 3, 2, and you'll be there. Cause that's what friends are supposed to do, oh yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh. You can count on me, cause I can count.
My favorite Bruno songs. Thank you for that very much. We are at a point now when we can bow our heads together in prayer, meditation, or a moment just to breathe in and out and hold on to words or phrases that you most need at this moment in your life. Let's bow our heads together. It is easy to get caught up in the business and troubles of our own lives that we forget we are called to be transformers for justice in this world. There is so much pain, so much loneliness, so much sickness, so much loss, so much injustice in this world that it can sometimes seem like just the way things are. May we never forget that creation contains the possibility of heaven on earth, a fellowship of humanity. May we never forget that the teachings of Jesus, as well as the teachings of so many other great spiritual leaders, can lead us to a world where suffering is greatly reduced. Until that time, may we learn not only to confront injustices, but to comfort those who suffer, and to be open to receiving comfort when we are the ones suffering. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.